Hey, we're back. Thanks to Joel and Arrowhead Pride. That's who lets us do this thing. But you've tuned in to Amateur Hour. And if you want to take a quick detour on over to PayPal, you can say, you know what? It's the off season. I'm going to donate to these fine gentlemen because they're putting in work when they're not even really on the clock. PayPal.me/AHPKC. Or, you know what? You can go over to iTunes. You can subscribe to the show. You can download some episodes. Or, you know what you can do? Your buddy that likes sports. Your buddy that's asking you about Benny Logan. Your buddy that's saying, how are the Chiefs going to pay that guy? Who are they going to take in the first round? Say, you know who knows? Amateur Hour does. Send them our way. Trying to grow that audience. But yeah. So, I mean, you're here because we want to talk about some Chiefs. So, let's do that. Kick it, Beyonce. Welcome into Amateur Hour, folks. You've got Ryan Scott Hall, his Dirkness,
what's up?
And Queen Bee. You know, because I don't know.
I was wondering why.
Well, why did I pick all the single ladies?
Yeah,
I don't know. I figured it was free agent appropriate.
Yeah.
All the single football players.
I thought it was because put a ring on it.
I mean, that'd be cool,
like,
too.
Chiefs are going to put a ring on it. Like,
I mean,
you've been blowing away with their offseason so far.
Right. Yeah.
Have you been blown away?
I mean, I was blown away with the fact that you said you wanted to do a best and worst of our off-season signings or
moves. I don't think anybody got the joke.
So
I don't think anybody gets that.
So I was like, there's a best one, and there's a worst one, and that's it. That's the list.
I'm not sure people get, like, all my off-season tweets are a joke.
Yeah.
I do not take off-season Twitter too seriously, although I do like to go on some rants.
Dirk, I've been thinking.
What you been thinking about?
I've been thinking.
You been thinking about Mike Glennon?
I know you've been probably doing some...
Everybody's been thinking about Mike Glennon.
Deep dives on Mike Glennon.
Everybody got Mike Glennon thoughts.
I saw this thing. I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was Super Agent Lee Steinberg.
Ooh.
But somebody tweeted... And it couldn't have been the agent. That doesn't seem right. Why would the agent tweet this? But somebody sent out a tweet that basically, like, everybody that is a free agent, there's something wrong with them, or else they wouldn't be on the street. And so, like, basically what happens in free agency is that every player is like a B-level player, but they get an A contract.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about it, and, like, it seems like every year, contracts, the numbers just look so insane, but teams always have the ability to sign them. They always seem to have maneuverability. Like, fans and the media, maybe you're like, well, they don't have any money. How are they going to do that? And they always figure it out. Even in the NFL, where it seems like it's a lot more stringent because the NBA gives you, you know, we'll just pay the luxury tax or whatever.
Yeah.
I think, as I said, I've been thinking. So my thought is, I'm just not going to worry about it.
Not going to worry about what?
I'm just not, like, can the Chiefs sign this guy? Or do they have enough money to sign their draft picks? What are they going to do?
You're out on the money.
I think that, like, it's just, none of us really understand it. And every time that I hear, like, Joel Corey talk, I'm just like, okay, I mean, you may have a better grasp on it, but, like, even you, I don't think you really know what's going on inside of the front offices either. So, and the way that they're able to manipulate it, is it base salary? Is it signing bonus? Did they convert cash to cap? Did they do this and that and the other? Like, we don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I think there's a lot of finer details we don't get and a lot of specifics we don't get.
Mm-hmm.
But we get the basic idea. The Chiefs don't have any money. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really entertaining free agents right now because they don't have a whole lot of money.
That's right. That's correct.
Also, it seems like the cap is going up exponentially through the years, and team spending isn't really going up at the same amount. Like, it kind of looks like it, but when I saw the cap room for every team this offseason, it was just absurd amounts. Just absurd.
Well, now, isn't there... And there's a couple weird rules in there that I think that... I don't know if it's, like, kicked in yet, but I thought that when they signed the new CBA that at some point it was like, we do have a salary cap, but we also have a floor.
I think there is a floor.
So if you don't spend 90% of the salary cap or something, then you get fined. Or you basically have to, like, pay that money to the NFL if you're not paying it to players. And I mean, maybe, I don't know how that, again, I don't know how it works. I don't really understand it.
It looks like you have to spend at least 89% of the cap.
Okay.
That is what a quick Google search is telling me.
So I wonder, though, if, let's say...
The fucking Browns have over $100 million in cap room.
Yeah, they said the Patriots had like $50 million or something. So if the Patriots had $50 million in cap room entering this offseason... Did that mean that, like, last year they were under 89%, they paid whatever they had to pay, like, to the league in fines for being under it, but then they enter the offseason and they still have all that room to be it. So, like, every year you can underpay on your contracts. You have to pay the money no matter what, but do you want to invest it in players or do you not? I don't know. But that's, it's free agency is a beast that I don't quite understand. And the NFL... There's so much money that flies around, and I don't know if all the guys in free agency or any of the guys in free agency are worth it, but I do know this.
What do you know?
I think that because we all love the Chiefs, all of the individual players, you end up because of their name or different things that they do on the field or because you like them when we drafted them or whatever, you get attached to guys. And teams, for the most part, don't get attached to guys.
Not supposed to.
There's a few out there.
Not supposed to.
But for the most part, teams don't get attached to guys. So, and I think that, like, the two pictures of this happened this offseason. We have a picture of a guy that the team did get attached to, and we have a picture of a guy that the team did not get attached to. And I'm a little... I don't know. I don't have a great pulse on this because I haven't been spending much time on the tweets.
Are we talking about Nick Foles?
No. We're right. Talking about Eric Berry.
Oh.
And Dontari Poe.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, we had for the last few seasons, it's been a topic of discussion about how the Chiefs were probably gonna have to pick one or the other. And I mean, to me, it was a really obvious decision.
I think it's been pretty obvious for a long time.
Yeah.
Since about the drafting of Chris Jones, the writing's been on the wall. Well, and then once Chris Jones played well, it was just kind of like, well, we got enough depth at the defensive line. I know they don't play the same position.
Yeah.
But we got enough depth across the defensive line, and he was clearly brought in to bring up some of the slack that Pope might leave behind.
Yeah.
It's just... And Berry was just ingrained with the Chiefs. You saw the leadership. You saw everything he's been through. There wasn't much debate about making him the highest paid safety in the league, at least among, like, executives or, like, people discussing the contract Eric Berry was going to get. He's going to get the top safety money, whether it's here or somewhere else. Whereas Dontari Poe's money has ranged greatly. I mean, we were talking last year about him back at $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the other contracts being signed. He didn't have the best year, and now nobody really knows what he's going to sign for.
I think, right, I mean, honestly, it looks like he, at this point, at this stage in free agency...
A prove-it deal?
It's probably, that's what it's going to come down to. And then of course...
There's still so much money out there, I don't...
For sure, I mean, I guess that's true.
We have no idea what he's... He seems like he's touring all over. It seems like he's at a new spot every day now.
I want to ask you this question about...
But we were all over the Poe. I mean, all year we were saying Poe's not going to be back.
I mean...
I don't think we were very quiet about that.
look, I mean, it's the off season, so sometimes it's fun to just like throw out wild speculation.
Hell yeah.
I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, we know. Think. We know.
But like, you know that scene.
You gonna try and join the game here?
No. I'm just gonna give an explanation for the reason that I feel like Dontari Poe is not a Kansas City Chief anymore.
Okay.
You know that scene in Happy Gilmore, pretty early in the movie, when he finds that his woman is leaving, and he gets on the intercom, and she tells him, "You know, Happy, all you ever talk about is being a pro hockey player, but there's only one problem. You're not any good." I say that, and that doesn't mean that Dontari Poe is not a good football player. That is not what I'm saying at all.
Well, it really sounded like what you're saying.
But last year, I feel like what do you ask Dontari Poe to do? And I am well aware. I know Craig right now is shaking that finger furiously. If you couldn't hear my finger wagging through the air.
Oh, they could hear it.
I mean, pretty much everybody in the front seven was hurt. Like, all of them at one point, right? I mean, yeah. The only guy that didn't get hurt last who was Poe, pretty much, Poe. Right? And Chris Jones?
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't really slated to be a starter, quote-unquote.
Right. I mean, even like some of the replacement level players got hurt, like Dee Ford.
Yeah.
Missed some time, and you ended up...
Tom lasted all 16, I think.
He didn't play in a couple games, though, and he got 7 snaps in the playoffs, so...
Not my choice, Bubba.
I don't know what Poe is good at other than being
an athletic freak.
Yeah. Like
exactly.
That's
no, I'm right with you.
I don't know what he's good at. And
I don't think other teams know that either.
Exactly. And so like I see these I see a few rumors that he's wanting to play nose tackle in a 4-3. So basically what he wants to do is have more opportunities to get after the quarterback, to show that he has the ability to do that, instead of just like being a block eater.
He probably thinks he's not valued because his sack numbers have gone down throughout his career. Because remember when he started in 2013, he had like 5 sacks in the first 5 games?
Well,
and it was just like, he just exploded on the scene.
Yeah.
It was like, holy shit, this guy's amazing. And since then, it's kind of been just a downward trajectory, I guess.
Sure. But I mean that's gonna happen, you know. I guess I just I look at what they did and I mean if you guys didn't know that the Chiefs signed Benny Logan, he's a different, I'd say different style player than Poe, but like they're gonna be asked to do the same thing, you know. It's basically clog up the run.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Well,
I mean, if Poe's asked to play a lot more.
Right, and so this is where this conversation gets a little interesting for me, is because if you have a guy that plays nose tackle, the job of the nose tackle, let's look at the Patriots. I've mentioned this a few times, how I didn't want to pay Dontari Poe a bunch of money, primarily because the best defense in the NFL had Alan Branch playing nose tackle.
Signed by the Patriots.
Right, yeah, 2 years for $7 million or something.
Like, did you just make that up?
I mean, that's what I imagine.
That's what I'd pay him.
That's what I'd pay Alan Branch. So, I think where the conversation gets really interesting, and I'm not trying to pit Benny Logan versus Dontari Poe, but it is about what those guys are asked to do and what the actual value of that position is to the defense. Because The one thing that I worry about with Benny Logan, and I had even suggested Benny Logan specifically, but the one thing that I worry about with him is that, you know, we always talked about how good we were in the base defense and how much we struggled when we went to the nickel, right? Like, if the Chiefs if the Chiefs were in base, like, come
are
on.
Talking, are you talking 2016 specifically?
I think just in general. Like, that was the meat and potatoes of the Chiefs defense was if you try to, like, line up against our base defense, Like, that 11 is how this defense really does well, for the most part.
Gotcha.
When you have to start putting a third corner on the field or getting the weird safety alignment, and how are we going to move the defensive linemen and the linebackers around? Like, if we can just line up in the 3-4, we're going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what Benny Logan is he wants to play nose tackle. I mean, he's being described as a two-down player. So when we go to the nickel, I'm sure that they'll use him, but that's not where he's going to be effective. Unless it is...
I don't think they will use him too much in the two defensive line of nickel.
So
I think you're going to see a rotation between Howard, Bailey, and Jones
mm-hmm.
for those two spots.
So with Poe, where he could do both,
yep.
and you asked him to do both, like, I don't know if that's a good thing, because I don't think that Poe was particularly effective at anything other than taking on two blockers.
And that's debatable if he's even effective at that.
This was one of those positions where, like, I've always gotten frustrated about the Chiefs not paying a second inside linebacker. Like, can I get a dynamic player next to DJ? It doesn't have to be this other guy. And the NFL has just decided, and the Chiefs have decided, that no, we're not going to do that. You're going to have one good player on the inside, and the other one's going to be a thumper or whatever.
Oh, come
well,
on.
I feel
come
like,
on, why are you going to hate on Josh Maga like that?
I feel like the NFL has also decided, for the most part, that, like, the nose tackle, especially, like, the 3-4 nose tackle, it's important for your run defense, but, like, it's... The positional value that Poe brings, if he wants to make money and he wants to be, like, a big-name player, then he does have to get sacks, and he does have to pressure the quarterback. And whether we're asking him to do that or not, or he's capable of doing that or not, is neither here nor there. On paper, he hasn't done it.
No.
And it's just... I know that you... I saw you talking a little bit with the aforementioned Craig Stout about your concerns with Poe. You want to kind of air some concerns or some... grievances, but like...
What do you mean?
With Poe, I just saw, like, that there are two sides to what people believe about Poe as far as was he injured or was he not.
Well, I think a lot of the discussion revolved around Poe's injured back. And Craig likes to point out that, I mean, he plays so many snaps that was a reason to, like, the back injury isn't a big deal, which makes sense. But, I mean, I'm always looking ahead. And basically, we used and abused Poe, played him 85 to 90% of snaps as a huge guy, all on his rookie deal, didn't really pay him that much money, and now we're just setting him free. Like, we got a lot of usage out of Poe for not a lot of money, and now we're setting him free, and I think we kind of played it perfect. Like, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do with, like, a horse running back. Mm-hmm. You want to run his ass for four seasons and then ship him off before you have to actually pay him any money. It's just, like, free labor.
Yeah.
Just kind of a shitty thing in life, but we're talking about a football team here, so you want cheap labor. And that's what Poe was, and we're going to avoid paying him a lot to... I think at that spot... The Chiefs really need a guy. The run defense fell apart so much. You need a guy who's just going to sit there and eat up blocks. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Poe was content to just sit there and eat up blocks. He'd try and go around the blocks or something. But he wouldn't stand up there at the point of attack on the run. Whereas we need a guy who's just going to sit there at the point of attack on the run. Like, that's what we need.
He, like, doesn't aspire to anything more than that.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Do and that. Play a role. Stop the run.
And that's the thing, though, is that, and that's why I said I think that this conversation gets a little bit tricky, is because we don't know. I mean, people like Therese might have a better idea, and other folks that watch the film and, you know, once you give me that all 22, I'll be able to tell you. We never know what play is called. We don't really get it. And you can try to figure out if, like, based on how they lined up in coverage or whatnot, but, like, we don't know what every single person's assignment on the field is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if because they feel like Dontari Poe has a very unique skill set, they ask him to do very unique things, and it doesn't necessarily always turn into a positive, but they're like, well, look at all this athleticism. I mean, you could say that it turned into a positive because he's got touchdowns on his resume, but, like, defensively, I think that the best way to play defense, and this isn't just because of who the coach is, but I think the best way to play defense is the way that the Patriots do it. It's 11 guys, and every one of you has a responsibility, and if you do something outside of your responsibility, then you are in trouble. I don't want you to do anything other than what your job is. Don't ever try to, like, help out your teammate. Don't try to do something else. Just do exactly what this play is drawn up as, because as soon as you start trying to be a hero or doing anything outside of that, it screws us up.
Okay.
And I think that with a guy like Poe, we saw him as this guy with just this unbelievable ability, this athleticism, and he can just do so many things, and we can play him more snaps than any defensive tackle in the NFL, but he weighs 360 pounds. And it's like I almost wonder if the skill and just the natural athleticism that Poe had, it looked so incredible when you saw him do things that then they were like, well, we should just let him. We should try to get him to do this, this, and that. Instead of like, no, we just want you to play nose tackle and eat up blocks.
Yeah.
Like, the team maybe put themselves in a bad position.
I can see it.
The other thing, though, is that how many snaps of stand there and eat up blocks is there going to be available in a league where the majority of offenses are throwing way more than they're running the ball? I mean, it's the average team is throwing like 60-40, right? I think that's kind of where the NFL's at. It may not be quite that over a season, yeah. But I mean, it's definitely not 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It's well more favored toward the pass. So if they don't really use Benny Logan in the nickel, I mean, how many snaps a game do we line up in the base defense? Is it worth $8 million?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's that good or
he looks or whatever. He looks pretty good.
He looks really good. I mean, I read Seth Kaiser's piece today. He really broke down his film and pretty much said he was superior to Poe in pretty much every facet, or at least the facets that he measured.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his little stats that go along with it. And then he comes with the caveat that 2016 was not his best year. He's actually way better in 2015 because the Eagles were in 3-4 in 2015 and 4-3 in 2016, and he's more fit to play the 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of got shifted outside a little bit when he needs to be right there by the center. I don't know if he's worth it, but you have to be able to stop the run. Like, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to do anything this year because either Pittsburgh or New England were just going to be able to run at will on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we weren't going to be able to stop it. Like, we made... It's kind of like the old thing, like, three things can happen when you throw the ball, like an interception, an incompletion, or a completion. Like, two of them are bad or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, force the offense to work for it. If you're just running the ball up the middle, that's not working for it. That's just calling the same play over and over. Hey, run up the middle because they can't stop it. And yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Pittsburgh game.
So you have to stop that.
Yeah.
You have to stop that. And then, you know, maybe he's not going to help in the pass game at all, but you have to find a way to stop that. So maybe you overpay him a little bit to be able to reach that point or at least help get to that point. But you have to have that. You can't have a terrible run defense and win Super Bowl, I don't think.
You saw that huge disparity between when
Benny
Logan was on
the field. Unless you're the Colts and you have Bob Sanders and just plug him in as taking you from the 32nd run defense to the first.
Bob Sanders plays nose tackle.
I still think we should have signed him last year, but I digress.
But, I mean, that's the thing. You saw like that huge disparity between when Benny Logan was on the field and when he wasn't.
Yeah.
And it was like 40 yards rushing per game or something. And I think that...
Yeah, there's all these stats about Benny Logan that just point to him being extremely good run defender.
Yeah.
Everything points to that.
And that's, I mean, that is why I was like, I'm intrigued by this guy. When you watch him, he just looks like a guy that you don't really want to play against.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And that's like, I enjoy players like that. That mm-hmm. he just seems like just a somebody
rough
you
dude.
Just don't really want to play against that guy.
Yeah.
Which
we need. We need some ruggedness on the D-line.
Well, and I gotta be honest,
got a little soft last year.
I don't want to just have like the same conversations that we've had in the past. But I would, at the very least, like to state for the record, nose tackle and really just the role that Poe played here, it's so hard to figure out if he's good or not. Because... especially from 2016, it's like, we saw, like, all these guys are hurt. But even if he's doing a good job, like, is DJ the same player? Is the guy that's playing next to him any good? if his job is just supposed to be able to keep those guys clean, but they're missing tackles, is that, like, we don't, there's so many variables involved in playing a position like nose tackle,
mm-hmm.
that, like, I can watch Marcus Peters and say, I know Marcus Peters is good, but I can't watch a nose tackle and say, he's doing a great job. I can't watch a left guard and say, he's doing a great job. I can't do that. Sorry. It's amateur hour. Like, I can't do it.
Unless they jump out. I mean, like, the first 8 games of 2013 for Dontre Poe, like, yes, he is doing a great job.
Right.
I can see this.
Yeah.
He is dominating individual linemen.
Yeah.
And those just, I think those plays just slowly faded in. I mean, I said goodbye to Poe a long time ago.
I did too.
So it's been interesting to see the reaction.
I mean, I do still have, like, at least a somewhat soft spot in my heart. Yeah. When I was playing Single Ladies, the volume on my computer was at 92, because I do things like that. So, yeah, that was my final farewell. 92 volume for 92.
That wasn't for Darren Mickle?
No, I don't remember Darren Mickle.
Darren Mickle? I think he's a guy.
He might be.
I'll check that.
So the other, like, I guess, real decision that the Chiefs made was that they were going to give Eric Berry a crap load of money. We kind of mentioned that. And this is, I guess, the other side of the coin. You know, they did not fall in love with Dontari Poe, and so they allowed him to walk, and they did fall in love with Eric Berry, and they paid him a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
How, like, what was your, I don't know, initial reaction to seeing the numbers, or did it affect you in any way, or was it just like, yeah, that seems about right?
I don't think it affected me in any way.
Yeah.
It was fully expected.
I guess I was just kind of anticipating, like, I didn't think it was going to get done as quickly as it did. I think that maybe where people got, like, their hopes up a little bit, and it almost, like, hurt them a little bit more, was that the Chiefs had about close to a 48-hour window to be able to decide if they wanted to tag Poe. And I don't know if they had discussions about it. I'm sure that they did, maybe, but, like, getting that Berry contract done that, like, with that much time before the deadline that they could decide if they wanted to keep somebody else, maybe that just kind of twisted the knife a little bit for some folks.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
I was really surprised.
I think it was $13.8 million, I think, for Poe.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Which they weren't going to spend, but I didn't think they'd sign a guy for 1 year, $8 million either, because that doesn't make much sense given their current salary cap situation. So.
I was honestly, like, I was kind of bummed that they only signed him to 1 year. The Benny Logan deal is what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw the Chiefs were signing Benny Logan, I was like, awesome, all right. That's, you know, that was kind of the one guy that I thought was a little bit under the radar, and I felt like could, like, that's what we need. We need a run stuffer.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw it was only 1 year, I was like, well, it's almost the same thing like when we signed Jay Howard. Like, I was really happy that he came back, but I was like, two years? Like, well, it doesn't, like, it feels so, non-committal, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
those are kind of in vogue, though. I feel like there's a lot of one-year deals going around, and I think it's just because the salary cap's going up so much every year that there's just going to be money next year. Like, any free agent that signs is signing for a lot.
They're betting on themselves, every one of them.
They're betting on themselves, yeah. But even if he has a down year, like, he's still going to get paid next year.
You know what's really...
How bad would Benny Logan have to be to not get paid next year? Like, there's still going to be somebody who's interesting. Like, hey, he was good 2 years ago.
Yeah. The weird thing, and I think that, like, that sooner or later the NFL is going to hit another impasse because, like, the veteran money is so big and the rookie money is so small.
It's so small.
It's the opposite of what it was before, where they said, we have to renegotiate this to like, move the assets around.
Yeah.
But now it's turning into, like, there are going to be teams that are just, I mean, like Cleveland, like, sure, we'll take the bad contract that you gave to that guy so that we can have draft picks for guys that we don't have to pay good money to, and they'll just invest all of their money in talent evaluation.
Yep.
But, I mean, we've seen that for years. You get a bunch of guys on their rookie deals like the Seahawks, and you can go win a Super Bowl.
They do. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to launch a little campaign here. I've been tweeting about this a little bit. But I wanted to save a lot of it for here.
Well, good thing I haven't been paying that much attention to Twitter.
Yeah, don't pay attention to me. but it's just, I mean, it's kind of a epiphany that came to me one day. I was tweeting it out about the Chiefs. And it's basically, there's a few few thoughts to get out before I get to the main thing.
I'm going to grab a beer. You keep talking.
All right. But the Chiefs, I basically laid out the three different paths the Chiefs could take this offseason. They can stay the course. They could go all in with a move like Tony Romo or trade for someone. Try and really make a statement to stand out for this 2017 season.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could draft a rookie quarterback, which could still happen, and hopefully it does.
Or both.
Yeah, but so far they have stayed the course. Like, I don't see how the Chiefs are going to be much different next year than they were the past 4 years. Like, what's... If I told you the Chiefs win the Super Bowl next year, why does it happen? Justin Houston comes back is the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, what else? It's pretty much the same team. We lost Poe. We added a new defensive tackle. We're throwing in 10 draft picks, and the injuries go back to zero. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it's probably that Justin Houston is healthy and Derek Johnson finds the fountain of youth, too, or something.
Amongst other things.
I think the defense has to be really good.
Of course, because we still have a shitty-ass quarterback.
yeah, I mean well.
The Chiefs feel like this is fine. It's fine. It's just kind of boring right now. It's off-season time, and you want to be, you know, you want to be excited about your team. And there's not much to be excited about the Chiefs right now. They're probably going to be the 5th to 8th best team next year. They're probably going to go out in the divisional round of the playoffs. They might overachieve, make the AFC Championship. They might underachieve and go out in the first round or miss the playoffs just a bit. But that's probably what's going to happen. Unless, the basis of this is kind of, the Steelers were kind of head and shoulders above the Chiefs last year. At least come playoff time. The playoff teams. I thought they kind of beat us up in that game. The score maybe didn't reflect it, but they beat us up.
Yeah.
In our house, nonetheless. And then the Patriots were clearly head and shoulders above the Steelers. And then the Chiefs didn't really get better this offseason, and the Patriots have seemingly gotten quite a bit better.
I think that is debatable.
Whether the Patriots got better?
Yeah. So, do you want me to go down that path?
Go for it. I mean,
I would say just at the very least briefly, they lost Logan Ryan and signed Stephon Gilmore. I don't know, but that's let's just say that's even.
Okay, Gilmore should be better.
Potentially, I don't know. I don't know if Stephon Gilmore's good. He plays for the Bills. So,
well, you know who does know if he's good? Bill Belichick.
I guess that's true. But Bill Belichick's been wrong before.
No.
I
mean, no.
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah.
No. I don't think so.
And it looks like...
They can tell by every free agent signing they make. Everyone's just like, oh, man, great signing.
Right. From what it sounds like right now, too... The rumor is that Malcolm Butler may end up in New Orleans.
You're right, there's some moving parts.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get me wrong.
But they added Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
And they still got the core, and they still have money to spend, which they've spent quite a bit of it now. But
you know who they still have?
Who's that?
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know who else they still have?
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Brady and Belichick, and throw some other white guys in there, and they're going to be great.
Yep. Including Rex Burkhead.
Yes, they did
sign him.
Yes. I know you're really excited about that.
I thought he just made a lot of sense. I think he would have been. I think he's going to be good, and I think he makes a lot of sense on the Chiefs because we need a little scat back because Sharkhandrick West drops the ball for no reason in playoff games and makes sex tapes. But so unless Brady slips, and I don't mean his play, like I think he physically slips and falls and breaks something.
Yeah,
the Chiefs are probably in the same spot.
Yeah,
yada yada. But he has to fall off eventually. And so I'm looking at the Chiefs roster, how they're constructed, where their good players are. We've got good young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we need them to develop just a little bit more, but still be on those rookie deals so we can, you know, overpay some talent to come in around them. So I am telling you guys, the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl in 2019.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I have all my sights set towards 2019.
Who's going to be quarterbacking the team in 2019?
The big question is who is going to be the quarterback. And yes, maybe it is foolish to make this statement before knowing that, but that, hopefully, I mean, a lot of signs point towards first round pick this year, I think.
I think if they don't take a quarterback in the first, like, 45 picks or something, that... I mean, I want to say maybe that I trust John Dorsey, And so maybe it's just like they didn't like the guys. But I don't think that there is any excuse that they have with the ammunition that they can use and the way that the roster's set up that, like, if the guy that you like, you think maybe it's going to take too much to go get him, you're not in a position to say no anymore. I mean, people probably looked at what the Falcons did to trade up from 27 or something to, like, 5 to take Julio Jones and said, holy crap, like, really? But look at what Julio is.
Yep.
And I don't know if they're going to feel that strongly about a quarterback or something, and I'm not even saying that they need to jump into the top 5 in order to grab whoever it is that they want. But if everybody really likes Deshaun Watson, but he's not going to be, you know, picked by the top 3 or 4 teams, and suddenly you just say, we're going to go get Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, if you like a guy,
I don't
make your move.
Yeah, I don't care who it is, and I would rather see them, as much as I would love to have 10 more guys come in here, I mean, if the Chiefs identify that Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Kizer or who, you know, like, whatever, I don't care. If you identify that one of these quarterbacks is the guy that you want, take every single pick. I don't care. Give 10 draft picks to somebody.
Yes.
Give me that rookie quarterback, and we can just trot on in. And you can spend the rest of the couple days of the draft trying to identify all the undrafted free agents that we continue to have a great success rate with.
Yeah. I'm not totally behind that, but I'll get to that. But that is the big question. Who is – that's the question you have to answer. Who's going to be the quarterback by then? And that's kind of my focus with looking forward to 2019 is how can you get a quarterback ready for then? Because let me just look at this. You're going to have Marcus Peters on the 5th year of his rookie deal. We don't know the number of that, but it should be between like $3.5 and $4 million. $3.5 to $4 million for the 5th year of Marcus Peters. And they might re-sign him by that, but I'll get to that.
The year after that, he's going to be making $20 million.
Yeah. Then you have Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones. It'll also be their final years of their contracts. They will be making $1.9 million and $800,000. That's how much Tyreek Hill will be making in 2019. $800,000. You will also have 10 draft picks from this class, or however that works out, in their 3rd year, all being paid very cheaply. So you have, like, your base there. You have 3 players who you think are going to be really good. Defensive lineman, corner, and a playmaker on offense. And then you have, hopefully get some depth with this year's class. And you also have other guys. I mean, Mitch Morse, but his contract will be up. But you got a lot of young talent, pretty much. Even if you re-sign them early, which is likely with like a Marcus Peters, you're probably not going to have him be playing that final year and risk losing him, although you probably ranch him. Whatever.
I think
if you re-sign him, his cap number will be low that first year. So you'll still have all this talent for super cheap. It's basically where the Seahawks were 3 years ago when they won the Super Bowl. Like, that's where they were. They had all this talent. They were all on rookie deals. You had Sherman, Earl Thomas, Russell Wilson. Premier talent, rookie deals. And then you're able to overpay guys like Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett. And you can fill out your roster like that and build a complete team. Like, see, that Seahawks team was probably the most complete team we've seen in a while. They were really good.
Well, and that's even, like, discounting all of the other guys that were on rookie deals. Because all 3 of their linebackers were. And they're Wagner all really and, good.
Yeah.
And they had Cam Chancellor on a rookie deal.
I mean, they're clearly handing out PEDs to everybody. But they never got caught.
Seattle.
And they won. So all this, you got all those. I mean, I'd go as far in as, like, trading veterans who are on the team now to get draft picks right now who will be young talent then. Like, I would take it that step far. I think it's already kind of too late to do that. I'm looking at names like Macklin or something like that. Like, I'm looking at 2019. I'm tired of the Chiefs being in the same spot. They've been the same team for 4 years. They're going to be the same team next year. Like, I'm just kind of tired of it. I want to make the move. I want to be all in for 2019. Like, that's where my focus would be if I was in charge. And I know this kind of probably sounds silly to a lot of you because the Chiefs are a solid team and you're, like, kind of talking about trading some good players or blowing it up a little bit. Or getting your rookie quarterback and having him take his lumps. But this is how I am in the offseason. I look way ahead. I look at the whole league. I look at where the Chiefs are from financial standpoints. And that's been my focus. The 2019 Chiefs.
I don't disagree with you. Just a couple caveats, though.
Okay, yeah.
So, If I'm Clark Hunt, when I hired Andy Reid and John Dorsey, the number one thing that I was concerned about was trying to have a franchise that was steady, that was at least in some way predictable.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Andy Reid and John Dorsey have delivered.
Exactly.
And so they have solidified the results for this team. And I don't, Andy Reid and John Dorsey have both been in this business for a really long time. And so neither one of them are in fear of if we made some of these moves and suddenly only had like a 4-win season that they would be fired. Like I don't they've got all the job security that they need despite the odd contract situations.
I hope so. Resign them, guys.
I mean I'd absolutely love to see that for sure.
But let me say, I get all that and I'm totally with it. I am not mad about the last 4 years whatsoever. The franchise needed stability.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a great 4-year run as a fan. Like, we got the playoff win knocked out. We got a division title. We've accomplished a lot of things. I'm not upset about the last 4 years. I'm just ready to take the next step now. And I don't think we can do it in 2017.
I think that is the kind of conversation that, as a fan, you have to hope that they're having internally.
Yeah.
You want to imagine that Andy, John, you know, it was Chris Ballard, but like just the people that are involved in those decisions, and ultimately Clark Hunt signing off on them or maybe weighing in. I don't know what owners do with that, but you would like to think that they are looking at the same things that we are and saying, guys, we've done a really great job. And we took a team that was the worst in the league. We literally had the first overall pick the year that we came here.
Yep.
And they've gone to the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. They won the division. They won a playoff game for the first time in 21 years or something. I mean, they are firmly established as one of the top 8 teams in the league or something at this point.
Fifth to eighth best team.
But like if they can't see the writing on the wall that, I mean, dude, like all of the support for Alex Smith from Andy Reid, from John Dorsey, like they have to do that. I do think that that's a requirement as far as like publicly they have to do that. But like
I think people are looking way too much into that. Like they come out and say Alex Smith is the quarterback. They do have to say that.
Yeah.
Also, if he's not their guy, they're going to lie and still say it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to be honest to the media. They just have to talk to the media.
I think that...
That's why I'm still holding out hope for Tony Romo.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think with what Houston did, I mean, Houston is currently in a position of Tom Savage as their starting quarterback, essentially, you know? I mean, maybe they like Savage more than Osweiler. I don't know. But, like, it seems like Houston and the Chiefs are honestly in very similar situations. Like, there is a lot of young talent on both sides of the ball. They both seem like they're ready to go. And the smart thing would be to have a veteran quarterback and bring in a rookie quarterback and then see what you can do. I guess I just... I hope that Andy isn't so in love with Alex that he thinks, no. Like, we're going to figure this out. And we're going to win a Super Bowl with Alex. And that John Dorsey feels the same way. And that Clark Hunt feels the same way. Because, like, you just, in the fourth year in the system, with the best weapons that he's ever had and the best offensive line that he's ever had, the best situation that he's ever had, he threw 15 touchdowns and, what, 8 interceptions or something? Like, and he ended up I think he had, like, a career high for rushing touchdowns, but like it was maybe a career low for rushing yards. I mean, it was just this, honestly, for Alex Smith, especially for people, whether you support Alex Smith or not, if you're a Chiefs fan, last year for Alex Smith was the season from hell. It was terrible. He was bad, man. And so like to not, whether it's go
not
after
Batman,
Tony,
bad man.
It was bad, man.
Not Batman.
No. But, like, that's the thing. And, like, it's forget about all the angst of not drafting a quarterback in the first round since Todd Blackledge. It's about looking at what you currently have and saying, he's X number of years old, 32, 33, I don't know what it is. And he's not very good. I could use the same Happy Gilmore line on him. The only problem is, you're not any good. And all the different things that you love about Alex, about the stability that he's been able to bring to this team, if they don't make a serious investment at the quarterback position, like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
That will be the first time, and don't get me wrong, there have been individual decisions that they've made that I've been like, are you sure? But if they don't significantly invest, and that's why I said, like, it's got to be like top 50, which means if you don't take one with your first pick, you trade up to take one. Those are the options. I'm going to very seriously question Andy Reid and John Dorsey for the first time. I think it will be the first time that I've just been like, I don't know if you guys get it or not.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I go back to my question I kind of asked last podcast, like, what's the plan with Alex Smith in 2018? Are you really going to pay him the $22 million or whatever to be quarterback? Like, I get it this year. You don't. There's savings if you release him this year, but he's pretty much entrenched in the contract still.
Mm-hmm.
But next year, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's like $21 million he's owed, and it's only $3 million dead money. Like, are you going to pay him $21 million? Are you not going to try and get out from under that? Or are you going to re-sign him?
That's the year.
Are you going to re-sign him? Like, please no. Please no. And I hope there's a plan there. I think a lot of signs point towards quarterback in this year's draft. Like, if you follow even like the Dorsey model, like, who's the guy you're going to get rid of next year?
Derek Johnson. I mean, you can do this in multiple rounds. Like, it's been, you've seen that model in the first round, but, like, dude, they need a pass rusher too. Like, there are a few positions where, like, the guy is going to go. And it's, you know, Derek Johnson and Tamba Ali, and you have a lot of uncertainty, frankly, with Dee Ford and Justin Houston, and you need a quarterback too. But, I mean, that's like, I don't want to see them trade all 10 picks because I do want heir apparents. I want competition at a lot of those positions. I think that they're going to be sitting at the pick that they're at and have the ability to draft one of these quarterbacks.
I think so too. I've seen a lot of Deshaun Watsons lately. But what I want is to take a path. Choose your path. Are you all in 2017 or are you focused towards the future? I don't want to just toe the line any longer. That's what I don't want to do. I don't want to just solid it out. We're chopping out pretty much the exact same team. The entire national narrative around the Chiefs is they're good, but they're not great. What can they do to take the next step? Mm-hmm. What have we done? We haven't done anything to take the next step. We replaced one player with a similar player. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, everything else has been in-house decisions, essentially. And so that's the thing. That's the question is, if they're going to and win the Super Bowl this year, you said if they're going to be all in for 2017, what can they do?
I mean, Tony Romo was the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I mean, I don't know. I've cycled through trading up and trying to get like a stellar guy in the draft.
And that's, yeah, but that's
like trying to get Leonard Fournette or something, or, you know, something who's just, I don't know, some kind of force that's going to be, you know.
Can you imagine the Chiefs like trying to give the majority of the next few drafts
for Leonard Fournette
to the Browns to get up to number one and take this Myles Garrett guy, and the Browns suddenly control like the
entire draft?
Everybody's gonna be like, well,
it'd be draft day two.
I mean, yeah,
I'm looking forward to that sequel.
Moneyball. Moneyball day.
So that's kind of my spiel. And also, part of this, I've kind of did a little research, I guess, but I kind of went over this last night, so I don't want to go too much into it, but Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Bill Belichick, they're all going to fade away here. Like, the Chiefs haven't exactly had it
easy. Manning already faded away.
He's gone, yes.
But, I mean,
the Chiefs haven't had it easy over the last 15 years. I looked at the QB wins stat, which everybody makes fun of, but it's It's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with team success here, and we're dealing with three quarterbacks who have been in the AFC for a long time. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, three of the top eight winningest quarterbacks of all time. All in the same time frame, all in the Chiefs conference. Like, that's incredibly hard to compete with. And that's why you see those, you know, pictures or whatever. It's all those three and then a few Baltimores. Like, we had to be Baltimore, slip through the cracks and get to the Super Bowl, and we couldn't do it. And then I'm just looking at, like, all right, so QB win percentage rates. Otto Graham and Daryl LaMonica, they're both old. Then Tom Brady, he's done it for 15 seasons. Then Roger Staubach, 10 seasons. Joe Montana, 14. Peyton, 17. So these sustained careers of these quarterbacks who just win every single year has really affected the Chiefs' path.
Yeah.
I mean, over the last 15 years, they've just always been in the way. So, I mean, I would say, this is kind of a statement that just came to me, if the Chiefs were exactly as good as they've been the last 15 years, and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady don't exist, they would have bagged at least one, maybe two Super Bowls. What do you think of that statement?
I don't disagree, because you look at what happened with them, especially with Dick Vermeil. I mean, I think that the defense was inherently flawed. There's no question about it. Like, that's why they lost. But, I mean, there were multiple times when Marty was here and multiple times when Dick Vermeil was here when you looked at it and said, like, this is maybe the best team in the league. And, I mean, you get a few beers in me and I may tell you that the Chiefs were the best team in the league, like, after we beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at home that time. That was a lot of fun. I had a few beers.
Oh, yeah, you did. I had a few beers.
But, I mean, we're not on that level, you know, and we never,
being solid, we would have made the leap one of those times without this powerhouse team being there every single year.
And that was the thing that I think Andy Reid was able to accomplish while he was in Philadelphia. I mean, they went to the NFC title game 4 years in a row. And they ended up in the Super Bowl one of those years. But it seems like for the NFC, don't get me wrong, like, there have been some sustained good quarterback careers like an Eli Manning. But it's so heavily weighted towards the AFC, at least as far as that group of guys.
Yeah. And all those guys are up and down. Like, even Rodgers, he's not winning at the same level as these guys.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
And so, My bigger point, how this ties in, this is all coming to an end. Tom Brady has to end eventually. I know it doesn't seem like it right now.
40 years old 40 this years year. Old.
It has to end eventually. I'm hoping it does by 2019. But once these guys go away, there won't just be the next wave of those guys. There won't be a next wave. It'll just be a bunch of guys. And so I think, going back to something you brought up a while ago about the contracts and how cheap it is to have rookie deals right now, I think it'll basically be Super Bowls will start being won by teams with the best 3 to 4 year sustained draft class. So now we have this block of talent all super cheap. We're going to be the best team. And you kind of saw it with Seattle. They kind of slipped through the cracks just because they were that good. But I think once these elite quarterbacks get ushered out, and hopefully Belichick too, it'll just be the league will kind of be, it'll be very Paridius, I think is a word, but full of parity,
yeah,
is what I'm saying. And it'll be dominated by the teams that draft best.
Well, and the other thing with that is that I'm sure that there are people that are going to argue, well, someone has to be next. Some of these guys have to come up. And so the obvious choices right now in the AFC are Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota, and Derek Carr. And that's great and all, but right now you look at how far into his career Andrew Luck is and what they have not been able to accomplish. And maybe Chris Ballard is, you know, the missing link and is able to get them together. But, I mean, Chuck Pagano's still their coach. And I'm just being honest, even with the different signings that they've made, and even if they brought in Dontari Poe, their defense is not good. And
yeah, I mean,
their offense is, like, yeah, like, and the Colts, could they, like, they have the ability to fix it, especially with a guy like Ballard in their front office. Like, you would imagine that they're going to be able to draft a lot better than taking guys like Bjorn Werner, who's out of the NFL. But the thing is that I don't think that anyone truly believes right now, and I mean, I'd have to go through and look, but like Roethlisberger won a Super Bowl in his second year. He didn't win as a rookie, right? His second year they won?
Probably third.
But, I mean, Brady won really early in his career. Peyton didn't get his ring for a few years, but, like, it was, I mean, you saw what was going to happen with that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Andrew Luck is already, what, he's on his second contract, so he's in his
fourth or fifth year.
I think he's in his sixth year. Just finished his sixth, maybe?
No, probably coming up on his sixth.
So, but, I mean,
the point is, like, none of those quarterbacks are going to be as good as any of those three.
And none of them have, like, established themselves.
I guarantee it. None of them will be as good.
Yeah. Like, none of them have come close to what those guys had achieved, like, at that stage of their careers. And, I mean, Mariota is debatable because he very, very early in his career. And yeah. Carr, too, I guess. But both of them are coming off broken legs. I just...
There's light at the end of the tunnel, is what I'm saying.
It's
2019.
There is. So you're, and that's the one.
That's the year. I mean, I looked at the talent. I mean, the main guys are Peters, Jones, and Tyreek.
So
I'm convinced. Well, I'm less convinced on Tyreek. I'm convinced Chris Jones and Marcus Peters are going to be very, very good NFL players.
I don't know if you recognize this while you dove as deep as you did.
Yeah.
And came up with 2019.
Yeah.
That'll be the 50-year anniversary of the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
There you go. I did not dig that deep.
So, you know, 50 years between titles? It's all right.
This is what the offseason is to me. I think hard and deep, I would say.
Yeah?
I look philosophically, and I look very long-term. Once the season starts, totally different.
I can dig that. Well, it sounds like, and I'm... There are different ways to approach it, but it sounds like we are in agreement, and I would say that I think most of the Chiefs fan base is in agreement that the next few months, whether it's because there isn't a whole lot that they can do financially, but the next few months, it's March 14th, the draft is probably the first or second week of May.
Fuck that.
So let's say the next 2 months, it's about deciding who the quarterback is going to be.
Finding the quarterback.
That's what it's about. So look forward to 17 shows about each of the 17 quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
No, we're definitely not going to do that.
I mean, I will be watching film on each of the guys, each of the main quarterbacks before the draft. I've already watched a lot of Mahomes, a little bit of Trubisky. I don't like Trubisky. I like Mahomes, but not as much as everybody else. I think I'm Deshaun Watson's going to be my guy, but I haven't watched him yet, so I'm not ready to go all in on that.
I know that at least you and I are kind of fanboys a little bit for Michael Lombardi.
Yeah,
I mean I don't want to like go overboard because I don't think everything he says is gospel, and he gets guys' names wrong all the time. It's so funny. He has never called Dontari Poe, Dontari Poe, not once.
Didn't he call like Dontarius?
Dontario Poe. But, I mean, he also said the Chiefs needed to do something about their offensive line. And don't get me wrong, like, I was kind of surprised with the contract that they gave Tardif, but I'm like...
I think that's just a result of a national guy not knowing the local story.
He has to do like 32 teams. Exactly. He did a video for each of the 32 teams.
Like, I don't want to give him shit because we focus all our time on the Chiefs roster. Like, we know it inside and out. He's taking a very broad view at each team. He looks at our rushing numbers that fell way off and probably thinks Alex Smith takes a lot of sacks, which he didn't really take that many last year, but
yeah,
in the past he has.
It would be like me saying right now, are you ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Dirt.
So,
five things to fix.
Quarterback.
I was trying to think of like the team that would be really hard.
You froze, man.
I know. Five things to fix the Dallas Cowboys. Go.
Trade Dak Prescott. Cut Ezekiel Elliott because he just showed a chick's boobies to the world.
Did he?
Yeah, you didn't see those?
Were they good?
Well, I didn't see the boobies. I just saw it on ESPN or whatever.
But to the world? I mean, you're in the world.
Well, I mean, like, the video's just been showed a lot.
Mm.
You know, they're at, like, a St. Patty's Day parade, and he, like, pulls up a chick's top.
Or St. Patrick's Day is not till...
I know, that was the biggest question I had. Why are they celebrating St. Patty's? It was last weekend.
Oh, was it, like, the snake day or something? People try to do
that. Is that
like,
a national thing?
Well, I mean, it's, like, what St. Patrick did. Technically, like, drove the snakes out of Ireland or something.
Whatever we can come up with, drink.
Historically accurate.
Whatever reason we got to drink, let's do it.
Right. Alright, well, I mean, I think that...
I got a question. Are we trying to sign off?
No, the reason that I brought up Lombardi...
Oh, okay.
So he talked about, of the quarterbacks in this class, I've heard him talk about Deshaun Watson multiple times, and he said, Deshaun Watson is the type of player that you build around. And that does not mean that Deshaun Watson is going to be an amazing quarterback or whatnot. But like the talent that he has, you know, you look at like different running backs, Jamal Charles, the reason that we have an offensive line that is a little bit undersized, very athletic, gets out in space is because we were building it around Jamal Charles. And we were building it around this offense that likes to go left and right more than up and down. So it's about making sure that you can get to the edges.
I think you mean forwards and backwards, not up and down.
Sure.
An offense going up and down would be kind of weird.
Up and down the field.
Up and down, like up in the air.
But I mean, those are decisions that you make, and primarily it's like you pick. Obviously in this context you pick a quarterback, and we've always talked about how we think Mike Glennon would be great in Arizona because it's picking it based on that situation. And so there are quarterbacks that get taken by teams, and that quarterback could have been fantastic if he would have been drafted by, you know, the team right after him, but because of the situation they got put into, he's not going to be successful.
Yeah.
So Lombardi said that, like, Deshaun Watson has the kind of talent and the kind of attributes that when you draft him, you build your team around his strengths. You don't even try to, like, fit it into whatever it is that you do. He is unique, and he does have dynamic things that he can do, and you just say, we want to play football the way that this guy is good at playing football.
Huh.
And he didn't necessarily say that about, like, any of the... And he hasn't gone too much in depth on the draft just yet, but, like, Watson is that kind of guy. Like, of all the guys there, you know, honestly, who he reminds me of, it's not necessarily in style, but just, like, what happens in the game, he reminds me of Jameis. Like, he throws picks early, his team can get in a hole, but he's such a gamer that it doesn't matter.
I can see that.
And I loved Jameis. And Deshaun Watson, I think, doesn't have really any of the character, quote-unquote, concerns. Like, Deshaun Watson, he don't like crab legs. Matt right there, like, that's a check in the
yes box. Wait, you know that for a
fact? I mean, I know, but...
Who don't like crab legs?
There's not a paper trail on it like there was with Jameis.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, that's... Like, I like Watson a lot. Mahomes is really interesting, too. They're two, like, they're very different.
Yes.
I saw the velocity, and it was like Deshaun Watson, his velocity at the combine was like 47 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And Mahomes was like 62.
Uh-huh.
That's like, they are opposites.
He's got a huge arm.
Yeah. Mahomes
is... He's very anti-Andy Reid quarterback, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think of these guys, Watson makes a lot of sense, but is that just because we're used to watching Alex Smith?
And well, let me ask you this. A question I've been pondering.
Andy doesn't need a strong arm guy. Look what he's done with Alex Smith!
that pertains to this question. I don't know the answer to this question, but I think it's a really good one. Is Andy Reid a good quarterback coach because of the quarterback he picks? Or because he can coach up any quarterback?
I think that Andy Reid is a good quarterback coach based on his ability to put a quarterback in a position to not be worse than this. And so the reason that I think a lot of people look at him as like a quarterback guru is... Primarily because when Donovan McNabb got hurt, it didn't seem to matter who the backup was.
No. I mean, I think the more appropriate title is backup quarterback whisperer.
Potentially.
Like, yeah. He can turn any quarterback into league average.
Yeah. Or that...
Which has always been my argument for not paying quarterback. Just put in whatever guy, and you will coach him up to being league average, and he'll be on a rookie deal or a shit veteran deal.
And that's the thing that sucks, is that it's like, if... And I think that this is why we ended up embracing both Chase Daniel and Nick Foles. It's like, I don't see a dramatic difference between what Alex Smith does and what that guy does. Now, you could see, at least in Philadelphia, like I think that you saw, if all that matters is just getting that W, that's what the backup quarterback is there for, then like, yeah, Andy did a great job. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he hoodwinked Arizona into draft picks for getting rid of Kevin Cobb, and he did the same thing with A.J. Feely going to Miami. Nobody was giving up draft picks for Coy Detmer. But, I mean, I don't, like, has Andy, I guess, though, you know what, like, if you give him the right talent, I mean, because look, like, the Eagles were very good with Donovan McNabb. And at least when Michael Vick was healthy, the Eagles were very good with Michael Vick.
See, Michael Vick's the interesting study.
And
Michael Vick's the quarterback that doesn't fit the mold, mm-hmm. and kind of came in, and he had a very high.
Yeah.
Like, his peak was very high, and then they went very low when they tanked with the Dream Team. Like, you kind of saw the up and down,
yeah.
where it was different than all the other quarterbacks, where Andy's been steady, more steady throughout the years. Like, I feel like a lot of his quarterbacks are really very similar outside of Michael Vick. And he tried it for a bit, and did he like it? Because if he thinks the Michael Vick experiment failed, and he doesn't like that type of quarterback, I don't think we're taking Mahomes. Because he's that type of quarterback.
But Mahomes isn't anywhere near the kind of athlete that Vick is. Like, I
no, mean, not like that, but it's just kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a Favre.
Yeah,
he's going to take a bunch of chances. He's going to do crazy stuff. He's not going to do it by the books. He's unrobotic.
Yes, absolutely. And
So if we can take any quarterback and Andy's able to coach him up, sure, Mahomes makes a ton of sense because you take all that talent, then give him Andy's coaching, and you're looking at a really good quarterback. Unless Andy sees it like, I pick a specific type of quarterback and he plays my way. That's why I'm a good quarterback coach, because I know the type of quarterback to pick.
See, that's the...
So I'm going to pick like a Deshaun Watson.
And that's where I think it is that. I think it's the latter of those two, because I would say if I had to characterize it, Andy Reid's offense is better than Andy Reid's ability to coach quarterbacks. I think that the quarterbacks that have done well is more a product of Andy being a good offensive coach than Andy being a good quarterback coach. You just got a proven winning offensive formula.
Which, like, I don't think Mahomes fits.
Yeah, I don't know if he does. I actually, so Joe Dice, smart guy. I like Joe's tweets.
Yeah.
Joe, I like your tweets.
Pulse of the Chiefs.
Pulse
of the or duh?
I think it's duh. Pulse of duh Chiefs.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you just search Joe Dice, and you'll find him. He's a smart tweeter. He said that if he, like, I think it was if you had your pick of the quarterbacks at 27, who would you take?
He liked Trubisky.
And he said Trubisky. And I asked him why, because I was like, that's unpopular, man. Like,
oh yeah, everybody's either Deshaun or Mahomes.
Yeah, I think that's...
I see very few people chiming in on Kaiser or Trubisky.
Yeah. And he said that it's based on fit. Just thought that Trubisky was the best fit.
See, I can see that.
And I haven't watched them enough to know, and I don't know how I would figure that out, even based on watching them. I mean, maybe I'd be able to figure it out, but...
Figure out what? Who you like the most?
No, like, figure out who would be the best fit with Andy. I don't know how I'd be able to determine that. Me, personally. That's not to say other people can't.
I would say conservative and accurate. I mean...
Yeah.
take a cross between Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith. Which I guess, it was Donovan McNabb robotic? I guess I wouldn't say he's robotic.
I didn't think he really was at all. Donovan McNabb, I think about him getting out
of
the
pocket. You think of the one play.
Kind of doing some stuff.
Think of the one play where he's running around and then fires it to Deshaun.
Yeah. But he did the same thing with Marvin Harrison when he was at Syracuse. But, I mean, those are two pretty...
Were they there at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. But, I mean, those are two pretty special talents to be able to run around. And
yeah, so maybe I'm discrediting the Donovan McNabb under Andy Reid. Although I feel like they still ran the Andy Reid offense and it was still...
I think that Andy is probably willing to work with anybody, but I do think the biggest reason for their success is that he does probably try to take them and say, but we're going to do this. You might really like to do this, and we'll try to figure out how to do some of that, but for the most part, we're going to do this over here. Because you see that he's been able to bend and mold his offense around the guys that he has, you know? And even some of it is, well, we like this guy, and so we're going to draft this guy, and then I have to figure out how to use him. And I mean, but I don't know. Quarterback is a much bigger decision than Tyreek Hill in the sixth round or fifth round or whatever it was. You know, like that's, you're talking about, especially, and I've said it, like, if the Chiefs do take a quarterback in the first round, it doesn't matter how high they take him. If they get to sit at 27 and draft a quarterback, I will be so excited. So excited.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that the thing about it.
You know what you'll be looking forward to? 2019.
Well,
when this quarterback enters his third year, sits all year for his rookie year, takes his lumps that second year, 2019. Boom.
The biggest thing though, like if I'm able to step back, which is kind of hard, man, especially like you put me at Arrowhead, I can't, like I'm out there in it. But like if I have, when I kind of have a moment of clarity and I'm able to step back and look at it, I'm gonna feel somewhat bad for whoever that quarterback is. Because I don't know if there's another franchise in the NFL that is so starved to draft a quarterback in the first round and, like, have a face of the franchise play at quarterback like that and, like, have their identity wrapped up in we took this quarterback. There is going to be, even if Alex Smith is here and, you know, the team is set up that it won't be like that, like, there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure on that guy to be successful.
See, I don't think so. I think he's going to be beloved. He's going to be beloved. It's not like a franchise that's failed. It's not like we've taken multiple quarterbacks that have failed.
Yeah,
and now the Knicks side's coming in like, okay, well, you better be good. You better not be Blake Bortles.
I think
like, we drafted Deshaun Watson. Like, fuck yeah. Like, I will take the lumps. Give me them lumps.
I would bet, yes, if the Chiefs drafted...
Because there's no go-to complaint anymore. Yeah. That's the go-to Chiefs complaint. That's it.
If they drafted Deshaun Watson, I mean, especially like for Joe fan, you're not talking about Pat Mahomes from Texas Tech that won four games last year. Yeah. You're talking about national champion, beat Alabama, went to the national title 2 years in a row, two amazing games, like... people know Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs drafted Deshaun Watson, there will be more Deshaun Watson jerseys in the stands this year than Alex Smith jerseys. There might be more Deshaun Watson jerseys in the stands than, like, everybody else. Like, that might be, like...
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be...
But so I think it'd take a lot to turn on him. We're not going to turn on him for one bad game. We're going to be like, oh, this is what it's like to have a rookie quarterback. They go through growing pains.
Pressure might have been the wrong word, but just like people, there's just so much hope involved in it. Like, you don't want that guy that you... I mean, if any team that drafts quarterback in the first round, you like... Yeah, I get it. And Cleveland might have an argument here, too. But, I mean, everybody's seen the numbers. The Chiefs have not won a game with a quarterback that they drafted since, like, 1983.
Which is weird, because like we started one of them like an entire season.
Man, if Brody Croyle knew that he was the reason that two people hate each other, Or at least that one person hates another person.
What does that mean?
I've told you that story.
Who hates someone because of Brody?
I have a very strong disdain for Bill Moss because of an altercation that he and I had on the radio about Brody Croyle. And I just
What it stems from?
Yes. So,
man, I wish I had a feud going on that long.
For the 75th minute crowd. You remember Sean Sharif?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Cold as ice.
Man, I love Sean Sharif.
I like Sean.
So
he put me on Dallas radio. Talk about the Mavericks.
Awesome.
In the finals. Read an article that I wrote to his audience.
Hmm. So Sharif and Bill Moss hosted post game. I believe it was after we played San Diego. And it was Brody Croyle. It was the last game that Brody Croyle ever started. He was so bad.
Oh, was it the one where he filled in for the injured Castle?
I think that's right.
Yep. He lost 31-0, I believe.
He was terrible. And I already thought,
I remember watching the whole game just laughing because, like, I knew how bad he was. And it was also like, man, we finally got our guy, Matt Castle. Finally we can get rid of this piece of crap, Brody Croyle.
I know that.
Matt Castle was that much better than Brody Croyle. Yeah. That was no stretch at the time. I wasn't being unreasonable. He was that much better than Brody Croyle.
I know that everybody likes to, you know, kind of bang the drum when they're right a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is all in hindsight.
Glennon.
But Mike Glennon. But I called the post game because I was so mad, and I am radio caller guy. I know some people aren't, but I enjoy it. I called the post game, and I had already kind of had, like, at least somewhat of a relationship with Sean. I'd met him out, and it was because of Nick too. But I was like, guys, Brody Croyle is the worst quarterback, not only in the history of the Chiefs, but like maybe in the history of the NFL. Like,
statistically, the worst quarterback in the NFL. Look
at his win-loss percentage, and I'm telling you, he will never play another down in the NFL. It will not happen. And both of those things were accurate.
Yep.
And Bill Moss just laughed, and he was like, somebody's had a little too much beer today, and hung up. And I got six words out of my mouth, essentially, and they were completely accurate. and Bill Moss was like, pfft. And I was like, okay, all right.
Can we find that audio?
We might find that audio.
It's
probably not in the 610 archives. But, I mean, I just, yeah, that was, we haven't even never won a game. Never won a game.
Did he go to Arizona or something like that? Didn't he go somewhere?
I don't know.
I think he went to, like, training camp the next year and flamed out.
Mm. Well, I will just say that pressure may have been the wrong word. And I think that you're right. Like, the person is going to be beloved because Chiefs fans are just going to be so happy. But, like, I feel like if the guy is in any way self-aware, we don't know how much players care about the city and care about the fans. Like, we don't know what's lip service and what's not. But, like, that guy, If he reads the newspaper clippings and whatever, like, he's going to see, if he looks at any of the history of this team, he's going to see, like, oh, man. Like, they need this really bad. It's like anybody that goes to the Browns.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, if you're a quarterback that gets drafted by the Browns, you're like, shit.
Well.
What am I?
For a few reasons.
Well, yeah.
Hey, I got to live in Cleveland?
Before we go.
Yeah.
You got to tell me about Demetrius Harris, man.
Oh,
you got to tell me about Demetrius. Is he going to be on the team?
Oh, I don't know. He shouldn't be.
I mean,
I don't care if he got arrested or not.
Like,
a couple of weird things. He was the passenger in the car.
Huh.
And he had over 35 grams.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that's a lot of weed.
Yeah, an ounce is 28.
And he was down. And he's Southern Missouri, like pretty much straight south from here.
Hmm.
So, well, not going to Colorado like us smart folk do.
Yeah, right.
He's getting that ditch weed in the Ozark country and driving back with it himself. That's a Demetrius Harris decision right there. And the media probably wants to praise it. They probably want to praise him on the job he's done. Like, look at the deal he got on this swag. Look at that one amazing deal he had, even though he flubbed all these other ones. God. Did you see the drop percentage stat that someone tweeted to me?
Oh, yeah.
Whoever that American hero was, thank you. But Demetrius Harris far the worst drop percentage in the NFL. It was amazing.
Well, and the funny thing is that accurate stat didn't get anywhere near as much traction
as your fake stat
that people just thought it was more believable.
I tweeted that multiple times throughout the year, and people bought it both times.
All right. Well,
Demetrius Harris.
I don't think he's going to be on the team. So, I will end this show by telling you that, I want that butt. I want that butt.
What?
Give me the Jake butt. Give me Jake butt. I want that butt. I'm going to be telling you. The next however many shows before the draft, I'm going to tell you guys, I want that butt.
I want Burkhead. I want Butthead.
But Burkhead. Gone. Yeah, he's
gone. Can I ask you, why is this has really delighted me. Like, I'm not mad about it at all. Why is Mike Glennon so mocked? Is it just because of how he looks? Like, his stats are good if you look at them. I guess the completion percentage is bad, but his touchdown interception ratio is good.
I heard someone say the other day,
PFF rates him as good.
Yeah.
I know these people aren't watching Tampa Bay games from 3 years ago. Maybe they saw a few throws come across on red zone, and he has kind of some bad throws in there and whatnot. But why is he so mocked? It's got to just be how he looks, right?
I heard someone say the other day, like, no one that gets benched for a McCown is a good professional quarterback or something. And was it McCown that he got benched for?
So now we're basing quarterback decisions on Lovie Smith and what he decides to do. That's what people are going with what Lovie Smith decides at the quarterback position. I'm not even going to bring up the name of who Lovie Smith chose to be his quarterback.
Rex is our quarterback, and man, I love Kyle Orton.
That's my problem with that tweet.
All right,
with that thought.
No, I think it was like Robert Mays or somebody. Like, I mean, it was a person.
Yeah.
Not a Twitter egg.
He defends the Glennon. All the Chicago people are behind it.
I mean, I actually like Glennon. I just don't think
the numbers are big.
I don't think they really have anybody to catch the ball. I mean, they have that Cameron Meredith. I don't think Kevin White has done.
Well, no, he's injured all year.
Actually, but that last year was his second year.
You're right.
I don't think Kevin White has actually, like, done anything.
Yeah, you're right.
I think. They don't really have a ton. Jordan Howard's good. I liked him. And then, man, they signed Kendall Wright. Jerks.
Yeah, there you go.
They've been... I've never understood.
Signed Marcus Cooper, too.
I've never understood
why. All these people chasing Danny to Chicago.
The Bears keep getting all of these slot receivers that I like, and then and then they're not good, and then I'm like, well, maybe I was wrong. Or maybe it was the Bears. I wanted Earl Bennett for the longest time, and he was just never good in Chicago, and then he wasn't good anywhere else.
Yeah.
Johnny Knox.
Bummer.
Love Johnny Knox. He was good in Chicago.
You wanted Johnny Knox.
I mean, why not?
Did you see Correll went to Oakland?
Oh, man. Correll. Whatever, the Raiders are stupid. I don't care. I'm not worried about the Raiders. I feel like
they didn't even let Sean Smith go.
Yeah.
What a terrible decision.
When I look at Oakland, I see that there is a lot of talent on paper, and I see that they still have money that they can spend.
They had a ton of money. They didn't really sign anyone.
They could, you know, sign Dontari Poto a big contract.
I don't think he's visited there, has he?
He hasn't made it west yet.
There's rumors there.
I'm not going to concern myself with the Raiders. I'm not going to concern myself with the Broncos. I'm just going to pay attention to the Chiefs.
Just gonna pay attention to 2019.
Yeah, 2019 in my sights. Well, Dirk, it's good to talk to you about football, man.
Hey,
I certainly enjoyed it. I hope that the folks at home enjoyed it. But if you didn't, I don't really care. This is more about me than it is about you.
Now let me break down my bracket.
I hope not. Well, I mean, do you know any other Beyonce songs? Because that's where I'm at.
No.
All right. So this has been Amateur Hour, and I'm Ryan Scott Hall, and he's his Dirk.
Just play some Destiny's Child.
I'm gonna play a song called "Drunk in Love." I don't know if that's good or not.
Crank it.
I'm getting there. I'm going to put it up to 92.
Ah, Darren Mickle, who was a Chief. I couldn't find his jersey number.
I don't know when we're going to do another show.
Darren Mickle, a second-round draft pick by the Chiefs.
Where'd he go?
Or no, supplemental draft. We wasted a second-round pick on the supplemental draft on Darren Mickle.
Really? Where'd he go?
Went to Miami.
Well, oh, okay, so that explains why he was in the supplemental draft.
Oh, come on.
Got in trouble.
Come on. I'm going to find a jersey number.
Man, I tell you what, if your girl or any of her friends listen to all 90 minutes of this episode and get to the point where
92!
I tell them that I haven't heard this Beyonce song before, they're going to be so mad.
I like some.
I'm going to get some backlash.
Oh. You woke up in the kitchen?
That might be Saturday.
I woke up on your computer.
Hey, I really enjoyed that.
Congratulations, honey. You were great.